read part of a verse in 1 Timothy, just to add to what brother was saying. 1 Timothy 2, verse 11, let the woman learn. Let the woman learn. We sometimes get occupied with the latter part of the verse. God has a full verse, let the woman learn. And I would like to have a thought or two to just give by way of explanation. I'd like to see if we can explain or understand a little better our pathway here below. You know, as we've had before us a type, we as Christians, we stand in Christianity and look out on another people. That's not us. We look out on a people of Israel that we see, and we see types, and we see shadows and figures, and we learn from those, as the brother has been setting before us, some wonderful things. But as we stand in Christianity as Christians and look out on the Old Testament, and I was thinking somewhat of the book of Psalms when I say this, we're looking out on a people that God is bringing through a discipline to work something in them for himself. Now, there's a great difference. And if we don't maintain this great difference, we will lose the value of the thing, I believe. He is bringing you and me through a discipline, through a life of discipline and government, to be conformed to the image of his Son. A Jew could never say that. We're looking out on a people that we can gather a lot of help from, ever understanding that we are the most blessed of all. And now we are being conformed to the image of his Son. We are probably, if you were to survey all of God's creation, man would be the worst prospect for such a thing. And God leaves us in the most wicked place of his whole creation. Hell isn't as wicked as earth. Hell's more miserable. To do his own work in and through you and me. Now, what is his purpose? You know, I was trying to find this morning in the meeting, and I don't know if it's Brother Darby's thought or the way he translates something, but it's when he was sending the messengers to the vineyard and the husbandmen, the wicked husbandmen. I was remembering it this way. Surely they will honor my Son. Well, you know, I'd like to say that about, use that expression prophetically. And I want to tell you, surely they will honor my Son. And that's what he's working in you and me today, and he will have it in a full sense on down the road. Surely they will honor my Son. And he will never back off from that. He will never retreat from that. Everything that is accomplished of any worth will be to the honor of Jesus Christ. Maybe that many will be before him in his reign to honor him as the king, and we will be there to honor him at his side, to proclaim his worth as a bride there with our Lord Jesus. Well, I was thinking of some thoughts in 2 Corinthians. You know, we don't get into 2 Corinthians till we get out of 1 Corinthians. So, our brother mentioned the thought of doctrines, and sometimes we're taken up with doctrines and so forth, and problems, and that's what we have, isn't it, in 1 Corinthians? We have to get separated from evil. Externally, we have to be separated from evil. Take a position apart from evil. And then he opens out a book to you and me that I'm thankful for one expression, and I'll try to jump back and forth a little bit, but in chapter 4, I've read this and I said, oh, I'm so thankful that this expression is in this book. Chapter 4, verse 13, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. If we had to speak from experience about this book, it would remain a closed book because it tells of death. Nothing short of death. No compromise. Death is 100%. Now, when I read across this epistle and just wondered at some of the statements in it, and I said, my, I'm sure glad that I see it in here, but I can't lay any claim to be speaking by experience. First of all, back in chapter 1, there is a kind of a key to this book. And the apostle just remind us that he starts off as the God of all comfort and encouragement because he's going to kill us. The apostle, he would come down to verse 8 in chapter 1. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. To be pressed to the limit of my strength would only be to display how strong I am. To be pressed above my strength is that show I have to live in the strength of somebody else. I have none. So do we understand sometime that we walk in this world through a world that is the most wicked place? And on every side, we're tempted, maybe persecuted. We're challenged, we're accused. But there's one who has walked before us. That's what we've had just a few minutes ago. We've had one who's walked this path before us. And now in following him, he is going to step me out beyond my strength. He's going to step me out to where only Christ has any value, it can avail. We were speaking earlier today about the thought that in the book of Joshua, God gave them their portion of land. He says that he gave it to them for an inheritance. And the thought struck, somebody mentioned in our meeting down home, an inheritance for me is like something written in my will. How am I going to get that? I got to die to get it. And what we have from God, beloved, is an inheritance. And he takes me out to where I can enjoy that inheritance. Where is that? Oh, out where I'm gone and Christ is remaining. Above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. When that happened, the Apostle Paul, an experience in his life, he already knew. He already had heard God say about Saul, death. Just like David pronounced, as we heard earlier today, he shall surely die. God pronounced on Saul of Tarsus. He'd heard God say, thou shalt surely die. So he wasn't surprised by this. It was merely God carrying out his own word. Now, if we understand that our path here is not one for us to make decisions in, it's not one for us to seek to make our way through this scene. It's not one for us to think we're going to calculate our way through this world. You know, sometimes we talk about dying and death, and, you know, it's a big word. But I think it's a simple thing for you and me. As if God would say, don't worry about what that word means. Just obey. I'll take care of everything else. So we get over in chapter 3. I'd like to read this verse. It was referred to just a few minutes ago. Verse 18 of chapter 3. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. God changes us. It's not that I have some target that I'm seeing and I'm going to change myself. I'm going to exert my forces, all my abilities to be like that. I'm going beyond my forces and beyond my abilities to be like that. And that just is a simple word, obey. Come down, submit to God. It's the word of God. Trust Him for it. You say, oh, if I do, it'll kill me. That's right. Then you enter into your inheritance. And I don't want to get to be mystical. I don't want to get to be fancy. I just want to get to be, to read a couple of verses. Verse 10 of chapter 4. And say to you and me, God called us to a path. When He called us out of this world by the revelation of His Son, this is the path He called us to. This is the principle that underlies the Christian path in chapter 10, chapter 4, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. This dying is not dying to sin here. He didn't have any sin to die to. If we can participate in His death, it doesn't refer to atonement. It's not the question of sin that we're concerned with here in this verse. We're called to a path where the first man is left far behind and we go on in another path. Another life, everything is new, it's a new life, everything is there. And God called us to this path, and He says, well, this is the path. I said, well, I don't really understand this. I really don't gather in what all this stuff is about death. Philippians speaks about bearing about, or not bearing, but being made conformable to His death. Well, I don't understand these statements. God would say, verse 11. All right, he says, I understand it. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, brother spoke early today of the government of God, and what a solemn thing that is. But, oh, beloved, we have one who controls the government of God. God Himself. Do I understand that what He's doing, He's following my every step? He's brought me to a path which says Christ is everything. And in His love for me, He's following every step, as we heard today, in His discipline and government, because He's going to deliver me unto death. Do I wonder why years ago something happened in my life? And even today when I think of it, it causes me to tremble a little. He wanted that tremble. He was producing that tremble. Do I wonder why, as I heard our brother speak about the government of God and I wanted to kind of shrink up a little bit, maybe hide under the chair? God wanted me to shrink up a little bit. He produced that in me, and perhaps in you, I'm sure, far more. God is working something for His own delight and His own pleasure in you and me and for you and me, and it is centered around the revelation of Christ, the man in glory, and occupied with Him, He's going to make us like the man who walked down here. I would say this in behalf of our God. He's not a severe man. And He will never add one grain to any trial that I don't need. But He's after something in me. He's after a certain humility that I don't have. He's after a certain tremble. He's after a contrition. He's after producing in me that when I hear the name of Jesus, there's something just springs up. He's making the Lord Jesus everything to me and to you. He's doing it. He's doing it. Now, we don't want to get away from responsibility. There is that in our lives which is responsible, and there's a peculiar divine point of contact, if I can use. Down in each soul, I would say, there's some place where sovereignty and responsibility meets. And you and I know that somewhere down the bottom there, sometime God has said, you know, you don't do that. And when I did it, He said, I said, you don't do that. And you know, He always wins every discussion. We know that. So I'm not saying we can walk away from any responsibility at all. I'm just saying that when I meet anything down in here that's saying, you know, you just can't do that, I meet it in the presence of a God who has in His heart to conform me to the image of His Son. And the only way He can do that is to walk me out through death and give me an inheritance out there where life is and where only Christ is, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be everything. And death worketh in us, but life in you. Thinking about an inheritance, the Lord would give me something to pass along to my brethren. So He puts it in my will. I'll use again my will as an illustration. He gives me something and He says, okay, here's something for you to share with your brethren. Here's something, and I'm going to write it for you in your will. The Apostle Paul, God had given him something in Paul's will for the saints of God. So Paul is saying, death works in me, but you get the inheritance. Death works in me, but life in you. God has it that way, beloved. God has it that way for us because He wants us all together, everyone together, to say, praise the Lord. And that's why I was just thinking and why I wanted to read that verse for the sisters. God says, let the women learn. Because you too are in this one voice that's voicing the thoughts of many hearts. And the Spirit of God is working that out. And that's part of His pathway for us to lead us out to where Christ will be everything.